really hope we beat their ass today.
And I'm going to tell you what, the tortillas were flying.
Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast presented by Viva the Matadors. This is the voice of Jeremy Gillen, and we're off another bye week and back into the frying pan. Texas Tech is looking a lot like Leonardo DiCaprio after he fought the bear in Revenant, and there is a lot to hope for this weekend against West Virginia. But first, I would love to welcome back Jacob Harris from his long extended sabbatical. Jacob, what's your favorite food at Thanksgiving?
Is it too cliche to say turkey? I mean,
I actually think the cliche would be mashed potatoes.
Yeah, fair enough. I know. Turkey's my favorite.
Okay. I guess in a continuation of that question, because now I'm fascinated, how does your family do turkey? Because at this point in my life, I'm comfortable saying I've seen at least six different ways to do turkey, and they all seem infinitely fascinating to me.
Well, see, for a while, I think they stuffed it and did it in the oven, but now I think my grandpa, he just buys smoked turkey breasts from one of his VFW buddies, and that's just what we eat, and it's delicious.
Well, that sounds pretty good. I've got a lot of family out in Louisiana, and they love to get a giant stock pot, as is most Creole cuisine done in, and they dump about a couple gallons of peanut oil.
Oh, yeah.
And they fry that son. I'm telling you, it blows my mind. They're wild out there, just out in their front driveway. It's fun to watch, even tastier to eat. Certainly, probably not good for me. Jacob and I will be flying solo tonight. Actually, Dylan is out. Tyler is out. So it's just us two, which means a lot less BS. Am I right, Jacob? A lot less BS.
I think so.
A lot less hot takes from my friend Tyler, and a lot less sensible takes from Dylan. So we can really get down to the nitty gritty here. Texas Tech takes on West Virginia in Morgantown this Saturday at 11 a.m., essentially the prime time now. Ask Oklahoma on ESPN2. With the condition on West Virginia and stacking up rankings, stats, etc. I mean, it seems cut and dry for Tech to come out with a win, but we know that's almost never the case. So let's start off with a little housekeeping. Biggest headlines to pay attention to for the Mountaineers so far. One, they are in their first year under new head coach Neil Brown and currently sit at 3-5 on the season with one win coming in conference. So the mirrored image of Texas Tech currently. Mountaineers are not only detrimentally young and inexperienced, but they have a ton of injuries. They're extremely shorthanded. Running back Kennedy McCoy, defensive lineman Quandarius Qualls, they are both questionable for Saturday. You've got linebackers Josh Chandler, who is actually one of their leading tacklers, and Vondarius Cowan are out for this game as well. Pretty sure they're out for the rest of the season or until December. And I'm not going to go through the whole list. There's a lot of them. You get it. West Virginia's banged up, but how about this? I mean, still took Baylor to the wire. 17-14 game where Baylor pretty much had to pull it all together to win at the end, which is a theme we've heard over and over again. But in the postgame presser, Neil Brown actually commented that, quote, "We didn't get beat. We just ran out of time." So I love that swagger there. Jacob, any parting thoughts about Baylor's incessant ability to avoid defeat?
It'll catch up with them eventually.
All right. You have it. You heard it here first. They'll lose at some point. Next up, backup quarterback Jack Allison actually just entered the transfer portal, which is the seventh player right now under Neil Brown to go into the portal. Kind of hard for West Virginia, but I guess I really can't comment too much about it. But this opens up Jarrett Daigie and Trey Lau to compete. To compete for the backup position. There's an expectation that Daigie will be that guy to take over if Kendall starts struggling Saturday.
I think, that was the one thing I was going to hit on. I think they expect Daigie to play at some point on Saturday. Not sure when, but we'll see.
Right, certainly a roulette for West Virginia right now, much in the case of Texas Tech at a number of positions, and we'll get into that a little bit later. But right now, let's start off with taking a gander at this West Virginia offense. Up for quarterback number one is Austin Kendall, who isn't doing too bad. He's already got over 1,600 yards on the season with a 61% completion rating, completion percentage. That's 12 touchdowns. He's got 8 interceptions. He's been sacked 10 times. Man, for Kendall, is there anything that really stands out for you, Jacob, that like, I mean, the interceptions, of course, being near one-on-one is never a good thing as a quarterback, but is there something like, is there anything about his game that you think is just really notable that we need to kind of hark on right now?
Not in particular. I don't think there's any one thing that stands out. To me, he's what he was at Oklahoma. He is a solid backup quarterback.
Yeah, I couldn't really disagree with that. For the running backs, we got Letty Brown and Kennedy McCoy, of course, being the premier two guys. But like I said earlier, McCoy out. Questionable for Saturday. Don't expect him to play, but I'm guessing if he's good enough to warm up, then he'll probably play. They don't run it a lot. Brown has 211 yards in the season with one touchdown. McCoy, 207 yards with 3 touchdowns. But, I mean, this is a team that is not effective in the run game. And a lot of that certainly falls on the struggle of the offensive line, which is indicative or illustrated by how many times Kendall has been sacked so far. But it's not like West Virginia isn't running run plays. They're almost even killing, actually, on rush and pass attempts. But passing has just been so much more effective. And some athletes that help make that happen are wide receiver TJ Simmons. You got Sam James, George Campbell, Sean Ryan. Simmons kind of being their premier guy, 409 yards, 4 touchdowns. James has 400 yards, 2 touchdowns. Campbell, get this, 109 yards off only 6 targets, 4 touchdowns. And then rounding it out, Sean Ryan is 168 yards, but no touchdowns. So much more of a possession down the field kind of player. And I think the numbers alone show how much West Virginia needs the passing game to stay competitive. TJ Simmons, surely their strongest true wide receiver at 6'2 and damn near 200 pounds, but you've also got James and Ryan, two athletes who make the most out of all their catches throughout the season. And then there's Campbell, who's just kind of this out in left field, near a touchdown in every game he's actually played in, looming around the field. This could be a dangerous core against the Texas Tech, the defensive back for Texas Tech. I mean, so far we're giving up on average over 280 yards through the air. And I think that we can comfortably say we're kind of evened out now after that early non-conference cupcaking and then going through Oklahoma and then going through Oklahoma State. You know, the distance we've made, I think we're pretty averaged out, and that's going to be the metric of our defense now. I mean, are we subscribing to the idea that this bye week gave our backs a chance? I mean, to rest and heal up and everything's going to be hunky-dory now? Like, is this... James, do you think that we're gonna? Do you think we have a chance? Do you think we have a chance?
I'll say the same thing I did before the Kansas game, even though I wasn't on the air. There's nothing really about this receiving core that scares me. But then again, there wasn't really much to scare me about Kansas' receiving core either. And look what happened.
I think that's a fair assessment. But I don't know. You could also make the case that Emmett Jones is just a beast of a coach who recruits and coaches the hell out of wide receivers, and maybe that's what gave Kansas kind of the edge in the game. I don't think West Virginia really has that same level of skill, at least on the track record, for their wide receiver coach. Do you?
I mean, no, that's a fair assessment too. I just don't know. I don't know what to expect of our defensive backfield.
I think you have a really good point. I mean, when we thought West Virginia, we thought Kansas, like, you know, Kansas, they may get a couple of balls downfield, and then they end up beating us on like 90% of their touchdowns was a deep pass, and boy, does that piss you off. And so when you, like, I think the fact that we've become Texas and we lost to Kansas, we have to be extremely careful going forward on how we assess other teams' effectiveness, because it's like, yeah, but, you know, they might not have good wide receivers, but if they tear our ass a new one, I mean, then we look like idiots. So West Virginia, by the numbers and by the athleticism of these players individually, now we'll see if excuse me, Austin Kendall capitalizes on it. Like you said, he's just a really good backup quarterback, which is the only guy for West Virginia right now, unless Daigie or Lowe steps up. But it's all going to come down to the quarterback play, as it usually does. But I think these wide receivers can do a bit of damage, certainly if our defensive backs aren't ready to play. I mean, and this is not even to mention that Douglas Coleman has a foot injury that actually makes him questionable for Saturday. I mean, we're still waiting on Desmond Smith to recover from his knee injury. How much faith do we actually have in DeMarcus Fields and Thomas Leggett, Zach McPherson, Adam Beck, who is a freshman, and then Adrian Fry, the guy who is supposed to be the best back in conference? I mean, can these guys even create chaos for Austin Kendall? These are all guys who have been beaten by a deep pass this year. I mean, they've all shown supreme weakness that we were somewhat promised at the beginning of the season that wasn't going to be there. Where is your confidence and fear for our defensive backs in this game?
I'm going to be straight up honest. I don't have any confidence. Like, we just got torched by Kansas. Week off or no week off. It's not, until you done prove me otherwise, I'm not going to have any confidence.
I guess that's fair. I don't know. I was hoping that you'd come in with a shining light of, you know what, maybe we can. This bye week was everything we needed to get back in the game and win the big game. And that's not the case.
My name's not Tyler Lucas.
That's true. That's very true. Yeah, I don't know. This is just going to be one of those things that we can say whatever we want, but it's going to come down to watching and just waiting and seeing. That might be, Red Raider fans, that might be the matchup this weekend that either makes or breaks a victory for Texas Tech, is how well do our defensive backs come up to play. Because looking at the matchups this weekend outside of that, I actually think we're going to be okay when it comes to rush defense. We're giving up around 175 yards a game, but West Virginia is getting barely over 88 yards a game. So, I mean, this may actually be our best rush defense showing of the year. Broderick Washington, Nelson Banasor, Eli Howard, Jalen Hutchings, these are all characters that have been effective against the rush. And if they somehow even get to the second level, then we've got, you know, Jordan Brooks, who is the conference's best linebacker, undisputably the nation's best linebacker in a number of metrics, along with Rico Jeffers and Evan Rambo next to him. I have all the confidence in our linebackers and defensive line core to keep West Virginia at or below even that lowly average of 88 rush yards a game. What say you, Jacob?
Well, I completely agree with you on that aspect. I think the rush defense will be really good. I think that this, like you said, this is probably one of the best showings we're going to have all year. But is it going to matter? Is Austin Kendall going to be able to beat us down the field the way Carter Stanley did? It's going to be up to, you know, like you said, what do our defensive backs do? Do they show up? Do they not show up? I don't think it matters unless they, you know, show us something. Show us a little something this week.
Well, and here's some food for thought. If we're going to assume that defensive backs are going to be about average or below average to what they have been, not like in general, because I would take average backs. I think that a kind of underlying key to the game is how well maybe our defensive line abuses their offensive line. And if we can get in the backfield to create just panic for, I guess something I'm trying to say is, you know, can we create panic for Austin Kendall and force him to be a quarterback that he is not, you know, mobile, throws on the run or throws under panic? I think if we can get in the backfield, if we can dial up blitzes, you think maybe that's going to be a good way to at least to leave. I mean, you have to know going into this game, your defensive backs are the weakest part of your defense. So if I'm, you know, I'm putting myself in the mind of Keith Patterson, I would like to blitz the hell out of Austin Kendall to force him to make really crappy throws so that my defensive backs don't have to. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, does that make sense?
No.
Would that be a good way to go about it?
I think it'd be a great way to go about it. But, you know, we could have gone about it that way against Kansas in the last drive, against Baylor on the last drive, regulation. But we decided to go prevent. And as we know, prevent defense prevents nothing. So
prevents a win.
Yeah.
For you. Yeah, prevent defense is the death of good programs. That's basically it. We're right now, Texas Tech fans, we're kind of stuck with waiting and just seeing what this defense can do, because we've seen them. I mean, we have such an awkward metric right now in a similar way that West Virginia does after that Baylor game, that, but even more so because we beat Oklahoma State, a team that's proven itself to be pretty effective and pretty good. And we played such a complete game that game, but then we've laid eggs against other teams, or we've laid eggs in the last, you know, that last drive, something that I've actually harped on a couple of times throughout these this podcast series, that, you know, hey, can we actually stop them this time if in that last game winning drive scenario? No. Okay, how about this time? No. Maybe this time? No. And it's just like, that's extremely frustrating, at least for me as a fan, because I have seen this defense come together and play really hard knock football, getting blitzes dialed up, you know, not selling out to the prevent idea. And it, I mean, we've even seen Coach Wells get in Patterson's face about, you know, what the hell are you doing in prevent? Like, put some pressure on the guy. I'm worried that Patterson, and, you know, call me out if I'm being too abusive here, but I'm worried that Patterson is trying just to survive in the Big 12 instead of, like, being aggressive. And because of that, he's getting eaten alive.
No. I, you know, coming from the guy that kind of called for David Yostrup after about seven games. I think you're completely right. I think it works for both coordinators and even for Matt Wells a little bit. They're still trying to get used to the Big 12. I know. They both coached at high levels before, but still, it's still a big step up from Utah State playing Mountain West teams to, oh my gosh, it's Oklahoma, Jalen Hurts, Lincoln Riley. It's a big step. Like, it's not a big deal as much as it was a couple weeks ago, but it's just, I agree with you. I think he's surviving out there. And if they can survive this first year, maybe bring him back, give him an offseason, kind of go over the tape. I think next year we might have a little bit more success. But if after, you know, this year and next year we're not really getting, you know, we're not really cut out for it, maybe we need to venture into looking for some new coordinators. But I like Keith Patterson. I like what he's done with the defense. You know, in a lot of places we've shown fight where we haven't shown fight in a decade. And I, you know, as somebody who enjoys a little bit of defense, I appreciate that from my team. But like I said, you know, the last two times we've had a game in our hands, or potentially had a game in our hands, he's gone into prevent defense, and it's really not prevented anything but a win. So,
amen. Something Dylan and I talked about on the last pod, where we just kind of ventured through everybody's commentary. I don't know if you got to hear it. One thing kind of stood out to me was a call for Texas Tech fans to be cautiously optimistic. He said, you know, when should we curb our enthusiasm? And I think that's a good, like you said, it hurt at the beginning thinking about, you know, the losses that we had. And now we're just kind of numb about it. And I think as an encouragement to Texas Tech fans, first of all, we have a kick-ass basketball team. So if you really hate football that much and you want to complain about it, just turn on basketball. Get that Red Raider jive, like, back in you, because this team's good. And we'll get to that. We'll start doing basketball podcasts here soon enough when we get everything organized and ready to go. So be on the lookout for that. But as it goes for football, there's a lot on this team right now. New coaches, new schemes, injuries, you name it. But I think as long as we just go into it saying, you know what, maybe, but maybe not, then really if you just kind of forget that 10 years, because I keep hearing this narrative, 10 years, we've been waiting 10 years. I'm like, okay, well, how many coaches you had in 10 years? You know, you got to give them time. And Kingsbury gave us a reason to say, well, maybe not Kingsbury, because it was too long for him. But we're entering, you know, Wells isn't even a full year. He isn't even a full season into this thing. And we're already calling, you know, for serious changes to happen. And like, I get the frustrations, everybody, but curb your enthusiasm. Get over it. there will be better days ahead. And if there's not, then again, we're a sphere ball school and stop fighting that.
Yep.
So before we move ahead to talk about West Virginia's defense, we're actually going to have a brief pause for our sponsors. 3, 2, 1, go! All right, and we're back. Well, again, by the numbers, Texas Tech should be looking to take care of business this weekend against West Virginia's defense. But spanked up Mountaineers team kept a fairly prolific Baylor offense to only 17 last weekend. So let's see what kind of makes that click, what makes that successful. Across the board, this is a fairly difficult to gauge defensive unit. There are games where they hold prolific teams to next to nothing, and there are other games where they give up massive chunk plays and lose in spectacular fashion, which I I mean, honestly, if you just flip out Texas Tech and West Virginia in that sentence, or in that idea, it's the same. We're the same team. Let's not fight it. Key players to be keeping an eye on going into Saturday's matchup is safety Josh Norwood, who is their leading tackler with 55 tackles and 6 pass deflections. Those pass deflections are huge, and it'll be a theme in our game especially. Then you have defensive back Hakeem Bailey, 42 tackles. Again, 6 pass deflections. He's also got a forced fumble. And then you have somebody kind of further down the list of the tackles. Defensive back Keith Washington, only 13 tackles, but he's got 3 interceptions on the season and 7 pass deflections. Washington has proven himself to be quite the ball hawk. And when he's not pulling it down himself, he makes a really good he makes a really good challenge on the ball each time it's tossed his way. His side is not targeted often, so I'm interested to see what's going to happen this Saturday. And I'd hazard to say that West Virginia honestly has a better pass defense than we do right now. With their main linebacker Josh Chandler out, it's put a lot more pressure on the defensive backs to make key tackles that Chandler would usually lock up. But really throughout the whole season, aside from Jalen Hurts, the Mountaineers have actually kept good quarterbacks to under 300 yards of passing, which I think in this league is a win. And when you're injured like West Virginia is, I think it's a big win. Jacob, when you're looking at this West Virginia defense, and I didn't talk about the defensive line much because they're not really that good right now. You know, how are you game planning if you're Yost, especially after, you know, you look at Kansas game, we had an electric first quarter and then stagnant as hell 3 quarters after that. You know, how are you walking into Morgantown and planning against a defense that is built on, you know, stopping, or well, at least have been prolific on stopping the pass?
Well, I'll tell you what, I think you go in there death by a thousand cuts. I'm just kidding. I'd be real happy if we ran less than 5 screens this game. Here's what we need to do, okay? If I was Yost, and you know they pay him a lot of money, so they probably wouldn't want me to be David Yost. I go in there and let's just run the ball. Let's run the ball, and whenever they get tired of watching us run the ball, let's let Jet do what Jet does best and make something happen, okay? And run the ball, okay? You know, I know for some ridiculous reason, we had success running the ball last time out against Kansas, and then all of a sudden, we pulled a Kingsbury, and we just stopped halfway through the game.
Yeah, I'd love to speak to that I was severely upset. And like I said, we had such success. I tweeted early on in that game, and I don't have it. I'm way too many tweets back on Viva, but I tweeted that at the rate that we were going, we were going to set a Texas Tech record by rush yards in a game. And after I tweeted that, we had like 50 more rush yards, maybe, between the 3 backs. And I was livid. I don't get it. I do understand that, you know, Kansas, like they actually made changes during the game, defensive changes that helped. They did, but we also didn't give the rock off as much as we did in the first quarter. Don't get that. I just don't get that. And it's something that Dylan, Tyler, and I were calling for the whole preview pod for Kansas. Hey, run the damn ball. We even talked about rebranding the whole podcast to Run the Damn Ball Podcast. I mean, we were invested. And for the first quarter, I thought, this is heaven on earth. We're just going to choke Kansas by running the ball the whole game, and then we just abandon it. I mean, I'd love to think that Yost is going to be like, oh, you know what, maybe we should run the ball against a team that's not good at defending the run. But can we? Because Kansas wasn't.
I have a lot of questions about how this offense is called and how why we're going trying to kill him with 1,000 paper cuts. But why don't you bring Yost down from the press box? Do you think that would help at all?
I mean, every time, and I'm not gonna okay, every time they cut up to Yost in the press box, he's always wearing his readers, like the same readers I think my grandma wears. And I'm just thinking, man, can you see the field well? Like, if those are just cheap readers, there's no way you're seeing the field well enough. But even then, this guy has, I remember coming into the season thinking that, okay, Yost has a more simplified playbook, so we'll just get really good at all of these things. And I was kind of washing off the Kingsbury, coming up with 1,000 different plays, and everybody's got like wild calls and stuff. And the creativity had its limits. So I thought, okay, if we go the other direction, limiting our choices in the same way that if I go to a bar and there's only four beers available, I'm actually happy about that. Less choices is easier for me. but it's proven to be so ineffective. It's like, oh, okay, the screen didn't work. Let's do something else. Ah, that didn't work either. Okay, let's go back to the screen because I got four plays on my little sheet here. I'm not sure, pedagogically speaking, if him in the box, I think he might be hiding in the box, to be quite freaking frank. I think he's hiding in the box because he sees Keith Patterson getting his ass lit up by Wells down on the field. That's the last place he wants to be, especially when he screen, draw play, and we, you know, we don't get a first down in a couple series. That's the last place you want to be is on the field.
I think that's fair enough. I just don't. I completely agree with you. He's probably just hiding up there, chilling out, you know, getting himself a hot dog and a nice Coca-Cola, calling some plays, you know, enjoying life while he can here in Lubbock.
While he can.
I don't know. The most frustrating thing is the main issue I had with Kingsbury, especially towards the end. And let's not forget, this West Virginia game in 2017, that was the beginning of the end for me of the Kingsbury era.
Okay.
That was the beginning of the end. And for some reason, we just stopped running the ball. And we did that over and over and over with Kingsbury. And now, you know, Matt Wells comes in, he's like, you know what? We're gonna run the ball. And I was like, great. Run the ball. We have good running backs, we have good run blockers. Let's run the ball. And now all of a sudden, you know, especially last game at Kansas, we ran the ball. Oh, nope, we're going to stop right now. We're going to kill you with 1,000 paper cuts. It just frustrates me.
It boggles the mind. I literally have no... It's like you're playing NCAA, you're kicking ass, and then you're like, oh, I got to go do something. I'm going to hand the controller to my 7-year-old brother.
Yes.
And then he just starts calling them ridiculous plays that don't work. And you come back and you're losing. You're like, what the hell? That's how it feels. I'm just so confused by the nature of the play calling. And I will never call for somebody's job in the first year because I'd like to give people the benefit of the doubt. But man, Yost makes it hard. He really makes it hard to get excited about our offense. Well, used to be the most easy thing to be excited about. I don't know. I'd love to see him down on the field someday. I'm sure if he and Wells had more of a communication where it's not just over the headset, maybe there'd be a little more urgency to the way he's calling plays. I'd love to sit, if I could, if I had that kind of authority, I'd love to sit Matt Wells down in a room privately and be like, hey, man, tell me what you think of David Yost. You know, why'd you bring him here? How do you feel about him in the box? I would just love to get his deepest insight on why it is the way it is. And I'm sure there's probably some reason in the back of his mind, but I'm also 1,000% positive that there's a lot of frustration there too. But we'll never know because we're a lowly SB Nation blog. Okay. So speaking of the run game, the big loss, of course, for Texas Tech is Armon Schein, who will be out the remainder of the season with a rib injury. There's speculation that if we get to a bowl game, he might come back. And as Jacob has so kindly put it, we're three games away from being bowl eligible, which remember, that's not a guarantee anybody. And we've got, four games left on the schedule, right? So I mean, everyone has to count. And if we're looking at the schedule, West Virginia is not a guaranteed win, of course. TCU is not a guaranteed win, even though they're on like their seventh string red whatever, like in the, they got them out of the janitorial closet for a quarterback. Kansas State, certainly not a easy to win game, which I, at this point, I think we may end up losing. Our best benefit is that it's in Lubbock. And then finally, rounding out with Texas, you just don't know because it's in Austin. So bowl eligibility is just we're not going to get into that. There's no reason to right now. Let's mourn later. We also have Xavier White and Seth Collins all season. They're gone. There's just a list of injuries. Coach Wells did say that both Alan Bowman and Maverick McIver will be having evaluation x-rays, quote unquote, soon. I don't know when that is. And that's going to indicate play time for the rest of the season. But I guess don't do it. Okay, well, I guess the big question is, as Jacob's kind of alluding to, is, I mean, do we really bother burning the injury shirt off McIver? I think hell no. Don't bring him in at any point of this season. Let him rest up. Let him become 1,000% healthy. Not that thing where it's like, oh, you're clear, and then you come back and you're playing on something that's not all the way healthy. Just get all the way healthy, McIver. We need you in the deep run. But secondly, I mean, how do we rush Alan Bowman back into the mix, or I'm sorry, do we rush Alan Bowman back into this mix to try to salvage a bowl season? Like we just kind of said, is pretty dang difficult for Wells' first year. Let's just go with Bowman. McIver, stay away. But do we, Bowman? I mean, you wrote an article about this, Jacob. Like, what is the reality for the quarterback pool?
I get it. I respect what Jordan Brooks and Broderick Washington and Terrence Steele and Akinanu and all these other seniors Bruffy have brought to this program. There should be no reason you bring Alan Bowman back at this point. And here's why, okay? If I'm being honest with you, Jet Duffy looks better in this offense than Alan Bowman does. Jet Duffy, I think as of right now, he's kind of not necessarily earned his way to the starting job for, you know, for the remainder of the time he's here. If he's here next year, I have no clue. There's a good chance I think he's going to grad transfer to ACU or Incarnate Word somewhere like that and be their stud quarterback. But I just don't see that. There's no point. Alan Bowman's been hurt 3 different times now. Coming back after last season, I thought, man, he's healthy. It was a freak lung accident, freak lung injury. Different things you can blame that on. Don't want to get into that now because I don't want to be here for 2 hours. But there's no reason you should bring him back. Just don't. Just stay away from it. Let him redshirt. You know what? If you're five and five going into the last 2 games of the year, then we can consider bringing him back. But I want to win the next 2 games before I even think about it.
I think that's fair. on so many levels, that's fair. Yeah, I mean, well, like this game, like the game against Kansas, we were banged up and they're banged up. And this game, we're banged up, they're banged up. It's going to be another scenario where Wells just, bottom line, has to coach his ass off to overcome that adversity. I mean, West Virginia, despite all the circumstances, on a 5-game winning streak against Texas Tech. And our last win in Morgantown even was in 2013. So this would be a great step in program's future to pick up the road win in a tough environment. With that being said, we're going to go ahead and move into the Big 12 Pick'em. I do not have any biggest winners or losers. From 2 weeks ago, I could tell you the biggest losers was all of us for thinking that we would beat Kansas. Womp, womp. Yeah. So we'll go ahead and just roll right into the games this weekend. first up, we got... let's go in this random order. First up, we got number 12, Baylor, 8-0 Baylor, undefeated, but not looking as strong as, you know, everybody else in the top 10. Baylor facing off against at TCU. The line actually is only Baylor by 2. What do you think?
Oh, Gary Patterson. What are they on now? They're 8th string quarterback. Picking up guys from the frat rec leagues to put them in a jersey and some shoulder pads and say, go play, kid. Yeah, there's no way TCU's winning this one. But I, if I had money to bet on this game, I'd take this one all the way to the bank, man. This is, anyways, but you know what? But you know what we're going to have at the end of the game? I guarantee it. At one point in the game, or in the press conference after, Gary Patterson, he's going to blame Sonny Cumbie for it. It's all his fault.
He really has everything against Cumbie. You know what, Sonny? If you're listening to this, I remember when you recruited me. I hope you remember me. We were okay friends. Look, man, just ditch the purple and come back. We could really use an offensive coordinator like you. I always appreciated your philosophy and your grit and your love for Texas Tech. Just come back, man. Just come back.
Exactly.
I am with you, Jacob. I think TCU's defense has been okay. Their offense, and with the quarterback, like they're beyond the hilarious nature of how many quarterback strings they've gone through, and they've gotten to like the depression area. There's no way in my mind that Baylor and the line being Baylor by two.
That's a little.
That's
disrespectful.
That's disrespectful. But then again, Baylor didn't give people much by only beating West Virginia by three. So boy, what a league we live in. I'm going to take Baylor and I'll take it by a touchdown, and I'll consider that to be my audacious take. Next up, we got Kansas State taking on Texas in Austin. The line is Texas by a touchdown.
See, this one's twinned with me right now, okay? Kansas State's ranked. Texas is not. Yet Texas is favored at home.
I think they're getting a little bit of that ESPN bias.
They're getting
from
a
DKR.
Hashtag Longhorn Network. Anyways, I can't put my finger on this game. I've gone back and forth on our pick'em like five times on this. So here's what I'm gonna say. I'm gonna say the Minister of Culture gives the Longhorns a little extra boost, and I think they win by three. But don't cover.
Do you think he's there every game?
Oh yes. If you're Matthew McConaughey, Minister of Culture, you have to be there.
That kind of sucks.
I know, right? It would. I actually feel bad for the guy until they start winning a lot again.
Yeah. I just remember when they were playing, was it Georgia earlier this season?
Yeah.
No. Yeah, it was Georgia.
That was last season.
I don't know. Okay, sorry. Who did they play at the beginning of the season? LSU. That's another SEC team. Go figure. And there was just that cutaway when LSU scored. And
yeah.
He was just like, F-bomb. I was just like, man, you got yourself into this. You can't get yourself out now. I am really high on Kansas State, and that would make it the second time this season I've been high on Kansas State. The first time after they beat Mississippi State, and I decided to pick them to beat whoever they were playing next, because I thought surely a team with this kind of grit to take on Mississippi State at home and beat them in Stark Vegas would have the grit to beat the team they're playing next, and they didn't, and that super sucked for me. but I'm going to go ahead and go with my gut again here, because Texas is one of the worst defensive teams in the nation. Never thought you'd hear that. Good job, Todd Orlando. You're really crushing it out there. You're getting everybody to doubt Tom Herman, which is, I love that. This is a fun time. This is a fun time for Red Raider fans. But I think that Kansas State has got something going here late in the season. I'm pretty sure they're making a good push. Already bowl eligible, but only two losses on the season. And they're just playing really well right now. Their coach is doing really well. I mean, for right now, it's Kansas State for me, and it's Kansas State by a touchdown, at least, with the way that this Texas defense just fails. I think that they don't get it together by the time that the Wildcats come through. So give me Kansas State. Next up, we got a barn burner of a game. 2 years ago, the iconic flag planting that shook the nation. Iowa State at Oklahoma in Norman. The line is Oklahoma by 14.5. Two touchdowns and some change.
I think the curse of Baker Mayfield is slowly making its way to the Oklahoma football. As you can see, they've already lost to Kansas State. Oof.
Yeah, that was the last game.
I hate to blame that one on Baker Mayfield, but I'm gonna. I think Oklahoma bounces back and wins this one, but I don't think they quite cover. I think it'd be a 10-point game.
Ooh, 10 points. That's not that. That makes sense. I'm with you. Kansas State, that was a really hard loss for them because Kansas State had their number the whole game, and then Oklahoma tried to make a comeback, and then they just made a mistake on the onside kick that could have given them one last possession to win it. End up losing to Kansas State. Should have lost by a lot more, but they didn't. This is good. This is a good time for them to bounce back before they take on Baylor next weekend, which is going to determine really the winner of the Big 12, more or less. Give me Oklahoma, but give me it by. Oh no, I'll take 10 points. That's fair. That's a fair assessment. Or somebody's going to get blown out, and we never saw it coming. That's the nature of football. Nobody knows. We all just guess. And then the game of the week. 2-3-5 teams struggling for identity. One struggling through a ridiculous amount of injury. The other one struggling through a ridiculous amount of self-injury. We got Texas Tech in Morgantown. West Virginia, 11 a.m. primetime. ESPN2. The line is Texas Tech 2.5.
Jacob. Oh, man.
Speak well into this.
Well, let's see here. Here's my take. Okay.
Here, and give me your take, and then at the end, give me your key to the what's the key
the
matchup?
Key matchup.
For the game.
Okay. All right. So my take is: are we gonna be able to stop him on defense? Like, I get it. We're banged up on the defensive end. Okay. It's obvious. But when it comes down to it, all right, and it's come down to it a bunch of times this season, okay? Against Oklahoma State, we stepped up. Against Baylor, we prevented nothing but a win. Against Kansas, all of my emotions, I literally, on that block field goal, I had all of the emotions. I had happiness, sadness, madness, you know, broken down crying. I had everything. At the end of the game, are we going to win it? And the answer to that question for me is no. I don't think we're going to be able to win. I don't think that our defense is going to be able to pull through. Okay. That's my key matchup. Can our defensive backs cover anybody? If they can, I think we have a good shot. If we can't, which I don't think we can right now, unfortunately, just because we're banged up, I think West Virginia is going to do what they haven't been able to do all year and score some points. I think I'll take the final score. West Virginia, 32. Texas Tech, 28.
Well, at least we score some points.
we'll score some too.
Oh no. Okay. Like I said earlier, I mean, this is a game that comes down to Coach Wells. It's not going to come down to the players really. They need to go out obviously and play their absolute best, but it's going to come down to Coach Wells and company from both the coordinators just coaching their minds, you know, coaching their asses off, honestly. Patterson just needs to be more aggressive, especially with Kendall. I think if we can dial up key blitzes on important downs that put a lot of pressure on Kendall, then he'll make a mistake and we'll be able to capitalize on it because we are good at creating turnovers, just not good at defending the deep ball. And they've had a couple of receptions this year that have been pretty deep. So no doubt they've been watching film and they're preparing for something like that. So we absolutely on the defensive side need to get all the pressure we can on Kendall to make him make a mistake. Offensively, on the other hand, we have all the weapons, but we need the direction. We need the right plays called. We need momentum in Duffy's favor. I said it a long time ago. Duffy's a really good quarterback when he gets the chance to build up his own confidence and his momentum. And it's each game. It's not like he gets on a high for a couple games. It's like each game he has to do it. And that's fine. Like, I recognize that, and that's fine. But we need an offensive coordinator that recognizes that as well and plays to that strength. So with that all being said, I have a hard time picking Texas Tech to win this. We haven't won in Morgantown in a while. West Virginia is coming off a really strong showing against Baylor, who, to their credit, is still undefeated, and we cannot ignore that. I think Neil Brown is pulling together a lot of – I mean, he's doing a really good job coaching, and I'm pretty sure he's going to go into this game saying, you know, you're home again. You're 2-2 on the season at home. Let's get 3-2. Let's get another Big 12 win. Let's build the credibility of this team when we're down and out. Or at least, you know, maybe I'm coaching for him at this point. But I don't see – it's going to be a battle of the coaches, and I right now unfortunately have more faith in Neil Brown by the way that he coached his last game versus how Matt Wells coached his last game against a much lesser team. So give me West Virginia to win this one. Give it to me – I don't know the point – I don't know the point final, but I will take a touchdown. Touchdown victory for the Mountaineers is what I'm going to say I'm going to predict. But in my heart, I'll be like, oh, Texas Tech will win it. So I'll be sad either way. Even if I get this pick 'em right, I'll still be sad. But that, Jacob, you have anything else to add here at the end?
Yes, one more thing. One more prediction for you. I predict that at some point in the game, Coach Yost is going to sneak out of the press box and get a loaded pepperoni roll from the concession stand.
I'm not upset about that. Pepperoni roll is pretty good. Pretty good. Well, that'll do. If you've enjoyed this preview, man, be sure to like, subscribe, give us feedback. Your opinions actually matter here. You matter. Your voice matters. You can also, of course, find previous and future episodes of the Air Raid podcast on your favorite streaming mediums. For Jacob and myself, this has been the Preview Pod for the West Virginia Mountaineers. Stay wrecked, people.